Good morning. We were up bright and early this morning so we can have breakfast and stuff like that. It was good breakfast. Thank you for everyone who had a part in that. That was wonderful breakfast, and we really enjoyed the fellowship. Sometimes you just need to sit down and eat with one another, and you get to talk. And you know, if you try to plan things out, you know, it goes okay. But sometimes you don't even have to really plan as much, and just the conversations make it really worthwhile. So I just appreciated that as well. So, yeah, I don't know about you, but in life, we usually have coaches of some sort in our lives. I don't know about you. Some coaches are the guys that are going, hey, give me 20. Come on, push it. Come on, get those burpees going. Come on, you wimps. You know, things like that. They want you to keep going, right? Have you ever had that? There's a reason why they do that, because they want you to get stronger, right? You know, you do the push-ups, do the burpees, do the sit-ups, all that stuff, and run the laps, and you know, if you're in different sports or different recreations, or even in jobs, you have a job coach or things like that, or even sometimes your parents act like a coach, and it gets painful. Sometimes, a lot of times, you just kind of go, I don't want to do another burpee. It's kind of painful. It's kind of uncomfortable. I'm getting kind of tired here, you know. But then if it's really a good coach, though, they usually know they have ways to do it. You know, some people are more forceful than others. Others come at you from a different angle. It can kind of continue to inspire you to keep going and to keep getting stronger. So preparing you for a healthy lifestyle, if you're looking at physical education. You know, they want you to have a healthy body and then get some habits up in life so you'll carry that on and help you out. And for, you know, if you're in sports or whatever like that, you know, they're teaching you how to do things correctly so you can be at your best. And, you know, that's just a part of what it is. And one thing, Vince Lombardi, I don't know if you know Coach Vince Lombardi. Oops, did I touch that? Did I go do that? I did that. He's a pretty famous coach. I think pretty much everybody's probably heard his name. I'm not sure about the younger generation. You guys are probably still in your diapers. No, you weren't even born yet. What am I talking about? When he was around, things like that. I was in my diapers when he was around, so. I can't believe there's laughter. How old do you think I am? All I know is I didn't like him very much because he's on Green Bay Packers and you know my team. So, but his principles, you know, he was a tough guy. But he did it in a way that he built people up. Individually, he would challenge people and he would support them in their training, and it was painful. And they would work on being perfect. Another guy named John Wooden in basketball, if you've heard his name, he was a guy that says, where do you shoot the ball the best? And that's where you're going to be. And practicing thousands and thousands and thousands of shots. So you can do it with your eyes closed. So, Vince, he would just get them together individually. He would empower them, help them walk through the pain and the agony of all the training to perfection. They would practice those little perfect techniques and, you know, foot movement, you know, their hand movement, whatever it was they had to do, they did it to perfection, all right? But also there was equality in there, everybody part of that team from the water boy up to the quarterback had a role in the team, and they were important to the team, to the life of the team. And, you know, and pretty much as the Bible says, you know, if the part of the body starts suffering, well, the whole body should be suffering with that part. So it's that type of team spirit that he built. And it's very biblical as well, and what principles he did. And, of course, his teams were pretty successful, winning some championships as well. And, you know, what am I going to call this? Because as I was reading this chapter 12, and I was going, boy, it sounds like a coach. Sounds like a coach is talking. And that's what brought me to Vince Lombardi, because I'm thinking one of the more famous coaches, somebody who really built people up into the best they could be, right? And then I go, okay, I'll call this Coach V, but it's not Coach V for Vince, but it's Coach V for victory. See, we have victory in Christ, and he is, you can hear his voice through the power of the Holy Spirit coaching us in life. So the author of Hebrews is going, man, you guys are, you're slipping away. You know, I know times are getting tough, persecution's on you. You're just getting tired of trying to fit into society now that you've stepped out of it, pretty much. You know, you're just looking like a sore thumb sticking out because of your commitment to Christ. And they're starting to go, oh, I'm not sure if it's worth it anymore. All my buddies are in jail now, or, you know, they took my property away. People don't go to my businesses anymore. Man, I'm starting to long for those days. We just got the old bull out and slit its throat and did our little ceremony and cooking meat and all that stuff. You know, and just that would be good enough. So they're slipping back into things like that, back to conforming to the society around them or the beliefs around the belief system around them. And the author's going, oh, come on, you already made a commitment to Christ. You know, now he's getting in this coach mode, right? He's going, come on, come on, come on. He's going to go, come on, you're going to push forward, push through the pain. You know, you heard an old phrase of, you know, if there's no pain, there's no gain. So you can hear that in his voice as he's going through that. So we're going to be taking a look at some principles about victory, really. Brings victories to victory to Christ, a victory to people who follow Christ today. Let's pray before we go on. Lord, yes, we just ask for your mercy and your grace just to fall fresh upon us even now, your Holy Spirit opening our hearts and minds to your word and to the hope that we have in you and to the power of Christ and your word that we get to get into right now. Lord, I just ask you empower my words, that you'll guide them, that you will receive the glory and praise and all of it, and that will just teach us anew and encourage us, Lord, to remind us, help us remember things, Lord, to push us forward, Lord, to challenge us. Lord, we just ask that you will work your wonders by the power of your Holy Spirit in this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So, if you were going to write a letter to people who are falling away, how would you write it? I mean, how would you write it? You know, that's what pretty much is what's happening here in chapter 12. And there's a good question I think we all can ask ourselves. And it's, how am I running the race? Because he's talking about a race here. At beginning here, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know, and then people are saying, well, people are up there cheering me on? And it kind of sounds like that, but it's actually, they are witnesses to what? To God's faithfulness. As they walked by faith, as they lived by faith, God used their lives, empowered their lives, enabled them to do more than they can ever do without him. And they received the promise of salvation. That's what their lives were witnessing to. They weren't up there applauding us. In fact, I don't think they'd want to see us, because I don't think there'd be a lot of moments to applaud. But what they are doing is they're pointing us to Christ and what it is to walk by faith in this world back then and now. And so that's what the witnessing is about. So we have all these witnesses, and he wrote all about them there in chapter 11, right? He's pointing, going, hey, remember these guys? These guys are witnesses to walking by faith. Remember them. So he's looking at that. So you go, well, one of the principles is take note of your heroes. All right? the faith heroes for us as Christians. We're going to be looking at people who have walked, you know, we look at a lot of times of the people in the Bible, which is great because we have their stories here or partial stories of their lives, but then we also can read missionary stories. We can also read stories of people who have walked faithfully in life. We can even hear stories about people who died for the faith in Vietnam or Cambodia during the Khmer Rouge regime, who was killing anybody and everybody that had any type of education, especially Christians. Get rid of those guys. All right? So, you know, you get into these well-known names, such as Billy Graham's and you know, Hudson Taylor's and all these other guys, and, you know, the Amy Carmichael's and the Gladys Allwards, who did incredible things. But then you come down to these other lesser-known guys that we know, but their stories are so powerful. They walk by faith. Some of them had to give up their life. Some of them had to give up everything, maybe even leave, and they had to be ostracized. And we knew somebody in Thailand, you know, he was a Muslim, but he became a Christian, Jakupan, Ajahn Jakupan, and he was ostracized from his family because he decided to follow Christ. And I'm still not sure if there's any reconciliation to this day. I haven't heard about that. So there's a, you know, there are things that we go up against, and we have to look at these lives. And, you know, you're getting ready, you're running the race, and there's times when you just go, man, I'm not sure if I'm, I don't want to go anymore. But then you got to take a glance, and that's why this is written here. And that's why, and we'll talk a little bit later, but we have people in our lives that have walked faithfully that have encouraged. My mom encouraged me a lot. And there's been a lot of people in my life that have spoken, and, you know, just ordinary people speaking truth into my life, praying for me, encouraging me, and helping me take that next stride. You know, as I look at them and their walk, I'm going, man, these guys, you know, they just keep going. I know they've gone through some difficult times, but they're going. They really believe in God. And I'm just going to take another stride. You know, that's what he is looking for. He says, take a note of these guys. And it goes back to that part of Hebrews where he's saying, you know, hey, these guys quenched the fury of the flames. They raised the dead. They defeated armies. They conquered kingdoms. All these things were happening through these ordinary people that God used because they put their faith in him. He used their lives to do amazing things. And you might go, well, he hasn't done any amazing things in my life. Well, we don't know. Your whole story hasn't been told yet. And you might not know until heaven how many people your lives have touched, truthfully. And there could be books written, and our names could be in here because of our faithfulness. So we have to be careful. But also, we need to look to help us carry on, to take that next stride in life, even when it is kind of painful. And then he says, well, all right, well, you got that. And, you know, we'll go back to this other part in a little bit. But then he says, let's run a race of perseverance, a race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. You know, so we got to look at the GOAT, the greatest of all time, right? And that's Jesus. He is the greatest of all time. There's no one better, no one greater. He did everything. He says he is the pioneer of our faith. He is the originator. He's the perfecter of our faith. He is the completer of our faith. Everything that we need, you know, when we look back at our witnesses, you know, those people who have gone before us, have lived faithfully, well, their lives were filled with flaws and ups and downs. But when we look at the model, the supreme model of Christ, we go, oh, that's a high standard, but, oh, Lord, let it be. Help me take another stride as I keep on going towards you, you know, empowered, keeping my eyes upon Jesus. Because we look at what he did, right? The cross was before him. and he was put on the cross for us. And he went through all that shame and the mocking and the suffering and the torture, all that. And he didn't go, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. He went, it is finished. And he died for us on a cross. Because of what? It says here, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, because it's just something that happens for a little while. It just happened for a little while. Scorning its shame, even if it lasted a long time. He scorns its shame because he knows what's beyond the cross. Because he, after he's finished everything, he went to sit at the right hand of the Father's throne. So we shift our eyes to Jesus and we fix our eyes there because when we start to go, stumble or start, I need water. Oh, that chair looks good. I just want to sit down and quit. You know, when you get to that mode, you got to turn your eyes to Jesus and say, oh, no, I will not go that way because Jesus was able to go through the cross, the perfect one, the sinless one, the righteous for the unrighteous. He did that for me. Oh, Father, help me. Give me the strength to carry forth, to take that next stride. Help me fix my eyes upon Jesus because he's not waiting there going, I don't think you're going to make it. Like that, where he's going, come on, you! You're not good enough. Turn around, go back the other way. He's not doing that either. No, he stands there at the finish line going like this. Come. Come. You got it. I got you. I got you. Just come. Keep your eyes on me. As Peter stepped out of the boat into the water and that big old waves going up and down, his eyes were on Jesus and he was walking on water, the first man in history to walk on water. Right? Besides Jesus. But then when he took his eyes off Jesus and started looking at the waves, like most of us do, what did he do? He sank. Pretty quickly, too, probably. And Jesus pulls him out. That's who he is. He's got us. Just put our faith in him. Keep our eyes on him. He's got it all. You know, he endured all that opposition because he knew there's something so beautiful, so wonderful. Peace, perfect peace, a perfect life, everlasting life without no pain, no sickness, no death, none of that anymore. None of the sin, none of that stuff that we have to deal with in this world. It's gone. We live perfectly at peace with the Father who created everything. Wow. When I fix my eyes on that, I'll take another stride or two. For sure. For sure. I hope you do too. And then another principle is trim it down. Go back a little bit and says, well, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, we got a lot of things. I don't know if it was Alistair Begg, I was listening to him. He says he saw a golfer on a golf course. It was kind of cold, you know, kind of rainy. This guy had a big old coat, you know, long sleeve. He had a scarf hanging on him and stuff like that. And he was trying to hit the ball. And this stuff just hanging all over him. Yeah, he's going to be really successful. I can't even hit the ball straight when everything is nice and wearing shorts and just a little t-shirt, right? You know, but he says if he was serious, he would take all that stuff off, you know, take the scarf off, take the jacket off, especially when he's hitting and just line it up and boom, all right? Take it off. And some people think, well, yeah, all that sin. Oh, I got to watch out. Yeah, and sin can entangle us, you know, old habits and things like that. Yes. But did you know that sometimes things that aren't really sinful can hinder us, can entangle us? Did you know that? Yeah. Our theological assessment of the Word of God. And we just keep on struggling. Oh, it's got to be this way. And we just talk about it. You know, it just throws people. Sometimes it just causes us to miss the grace of God. Sometimes it's our job. We get so mixed up in our jobs and building our own kingdoms, and it just, we don't get into the Word, or we didn't get to church for the last 5 months, or at least we didn't even pray hardly. We didn't have any fellowship with any other believers, you know, things like that. Or family, you know, family can be very much a hindrance. Did you know that? Yeah. Especially when you got a lot of kids and they're doing about 50, 60 different things and you're following them all over the place, and that can become a hindrance. Good things, but it can be a ball and chain in your walk with Christ. And you wonder why I haven't prayed. I wonder why I just don't feel close to God. I wonder why I didn't hear his voice when I was making that decision. I wonder why I have those ugly thoughts. And my anger just rushes out like a volcano. Yeah. See, these things hinder us unless we really just say, God, help me just start taking them off. And he will, because he's done that for me. He's taken off a lot. And that doesn't mean I don't still got more left. But some things he's helped me take them off and put them down completely at the foot of the cross. Because I don't need them anymore. And I don't want them anymore. Hindrances. Take them off. Throw them off. See, it takes trust. When we look upon the Lord and we're throwing them off, we're going, yes, you know, throwing that big old burden off our shoulders so we can walk closer to him, so we can walk in step with Jesus better. We can take that bigger stride to keep up what he has for us. But it takes our eyes of trust in him to do that. Because there's some things I don't want to give them. I want that burden because I earned it. It's mine. I'm building my own kingdom. It's me. It's me. Don't take it away from me. I don't know how many times I fight with God over that. No. Yeah. I want this, Jesus. Don't take it away from me. And there's a big fight. And he wins. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I win. I still carry the burden. So we need to throw it off. And he so graciously says, yes, I'll help you. I'll help you with that. Maybe it's a little at a time, or maybe it's just taking a big little thing and boom, thud, comes off. But he is so gracious. And you say, well, what is this all this about? And you know, this discipline, you're talking about discipline. Discipline's like a father. I don't want to be disciplined. Well, nobody wants to be disciplined because it hurts, right? And a lot of times when us as parents, when we discipline, we don't discipline so good because there's motivations other than that, because we want to look good. There's pride and all that stuff. There's anger and things like that in there. There's things happen to us back in the past that we're reflecting on our children. Boom. Yeah, that kind of discipline isn't godly discipline. It's not the Father's discipline. That's human discipline. It's faulty. We try our best, right? We try our best, right, parents? We try our best. Sometimes we're just not at a good spot. Some of us weren't even Christians when we were parents. But that discipline comes, hopefully a lot of times, for our good, for training us up, to help us in life. But we know for the Father, He is good, and His discipline is perfect, and He knows what is best for us, even though it looks like He doesn't. Like we have our own agenda. We have our own plans. This is what I want, Jesus. And Jesus is going, there's something else for you. Something even better. Something even better. You might not even thought about it. I was talking to Nate earlier this morning. I was going, you know, when I look back at my, when I was 19 like Nate or 18 or whatever he is, how old he is, it's going, I did not envision myself in front of people talking about God. No way. No way. I was probably thinking of myself more like with a ball, playing sports all my life. He changes us. He has things that we just don't even think about that are so good for us, and we kind of yell at Him and get angry and fight with Him when He says, walk this way, and we go, no. And then the discipline happens, right? And some people feel, well, He's an angry God. No, He's not an angry God. He loves us to where He'll discipline us and train us up so we will go in the right paths and be following the purposes that He has for our lives. And if you look at Job, he didn't want to be disciplined, right? He didn't want to go through that trial. No way. And it was a hard trial. But at the end, as he went through and he learned more about God and his eyes, her heart was open even more to His greatness, His mercy and grace, he was blessed double. Blessed double. Because he walked by faith. And so we're called to do that. Because what it's all about, God's plan for us is that He wants us to share in His holiness. He wants us to be made holy like He is holy. So we can be lights, right, in the world. And after all that, going through all those discipline and whatever else, and sometimes the discipline comes our way, it's not because of us. It might not be disciplined because we did a sinful thing or whatever. It might not even be really about us. He might be using us like a Job to help others, like his friends who didn't know God very well. And they got to know God in that instance. They had all these confusing, weird thoughts about who God is and how He operates. But it was all cleared up at the end. And Job had to pray for them. And they had to ask for forgiveness. That's how God works. I can't tell you. Each of us, and we're going through this and that, and our friends or family are going through this and that. I don't know. All I know is that I trust, I'm just going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus and keep on striding forth and trusting Him. For He knows best, and He's got the plan. And I'm already safe in His hands as He has saved me. And there's going to be a harvest of righteousness and peace. Peace. You don't have to strive anymore. You don't have to look and beat everybody to the finish line. All you need to do is just get to the finish line. You don't worry about other people, how fast they're going or how slow they're going. I could whoop Don anytime. Yeah. I'm talking about race, not a fight. I just kick your cane out and just go, boy, go. I'd probably go backwards, go, hey, hey, like that, you know, kind of like the tortoise and the hare type thing. You probably win then. But you're striding to get to that finish line to Christ. All right? You're taking those strides. And the righteousness, that means that you're getting right with God. You're following His ways. You're walking in His paths, that righteousness. So you're not righteous in yourself. You're righteous through Christ. and at peace. You're at peace with them because you don't have to fight with them anymore. You're going, yeah, okay, okay, okay. I know I'm going through a rough time, but yeah, okay. I'm just going to give it to you, Father. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That type of attitude. You know, look at Philippians 4. That's your homework today. Look at Philippians 4, okay? 4, and then you look at verses 4 to 9. And that'll show you how you walk by faith. Lifting that all those anxious thoughts of ours, and we just give it to the Lord. And his peace just comes on us, and there's a gentleness, and there's a rejoicing that comes with it. And then he says, you know what? Start thinking about all these things that are good and noble and right and praiseworthy and excellent and true. Get your minds on that. Not the giant of Goliath who's cursing us, but set your eyes on Christ and all those good things. And we'll look through and just see Goliath shrink down like a little baby boy. And you take your sling and go, boing, knock him down. That's what he calls us to do. Be confident, right? The whole thing about in this series, I use a commentary by Warren Wiersbe, and the title of it for Hebrews is Be Confident. That's what he calls us to be. The writer is saying, be confident who you are in Christ. Who Christ is, who you are in Christ. Be confident. Believe. Stride. Race. Finish. Because you know the outcome. The victory is ours, right? The finish line speech and message here. I love it, the message. This finish line. Can you see the coach going, yeah, come on! Come on! Come on! Drive, one more. Come on, one more step. Come on, you can do it. Finish line's right there. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for a long-distance runner so no one will trip and fall, so no one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. Get it done. Strengthen yourself. Push through the pain. Go. Keep your eyes on me. Don't forget the words of encouragement in the Word of God that says that you are children of God. And when you're disciplined, you'll know that. See? Did you notice something in that? It's not all about us, is it? We're supposed to what? Help clear the path for what? Somebody else. See, now you go back to the witnesses. Oh, why don't you go take a look? There's a big cloud of witnesses. Well, you know what? You're a cloud, a witness in this world. How you walk by faith will impact everybody around you in your life. You might not even know the person, even if it's just for a few moments. I don't know. We are to run that race to Christ in a way that others will see it and go, oh, he's a follower of Christ. Look at him go. Oh, yeah, he's going through all this stuff, but look at him go. And he's winning. He's victorious. How did he do that? How is he so victorious? Where is that peace and that righteousness coming from? Oh, he's so humble. He cares about me. He loves mercy. We are to be a witness by faith. Walk by faith. Run by faith. Complete the race by what? What? Faith. You are a witness. Just like these guys written about, you are a witness to all those around you. So, ask yourself that question. How am I running the race? Some of you might not even have started yet, and that's all right. You're here for a reason. So you can start your race with Christ. Hallelujah! All you have to do is just say, forgive me for my sins. With a true, sincere heart. Come into my life. Jesus, and I'll follow you. I believe in you. And for us who have been running to race, the encouragement is there. Don't drift away. Don't fall away. Don't quit. Go forth to the finish line in the power of Christ. And as you do, you're going to be a witness to others around you. Father God, yes, we just rejoice in that truth, the hope that we have in you, and the word of God, Lord, a word of encouragement. It is a word of encouragement. And the Coach V is just yelling at us, but not at, just to condemn us, no condemnation, but just a desire to see us finish well, finish victoriously, and finish as these wonderful witnesses so others can see. So, Father, I pray that you'll empower us, that you'll strengthen us, that you'll remind us and guide us and bless us to be a blessing to others. And, Lord, help us never to forget these words of encouragement. We are your sons and daughters. You love us with a love that can't be understood, can't really be measured, but it's a love that is unconditional and powerful and life-changing. And it's there for us all the time. So may we fix our eyes upon the author and perfecter of our faith and go forth in that each and every stride of our lives until we get to that victory tape. And we're going to be in your arms, Jesus. We're going to be in your arms, Jesus. Oh, how I look forward to that. Just that big hug. Oh, Jesus, yes. We praise you, and we want so many others to follow that victory as well. Help us, Lord. Increase our faith. And help us to walk by faith and confidence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all of us people say, amen.